going on, everyone? Welcome to Seeking Excellence. This is your boy, Nathan Crankfield, and this is most likely the last episode of Seeking Excellence for 2023. And so today I want to kind of go back through the year in review, not just, you know, talking about the year of Seeking Excellence, of course, but reflecting in your own life, reflecting in my own life, some of the highs and lows throughout the year, talk about preparing for 2024, and just kind of talk about ways that we can prepare to crush and make 2024 a great year, maybe the best year of our lives ever. I think that is always a good goal, right? We should always be looking to improve and to have the best year we've ever had before. I've learned a lot this year. Obviously, some big things have happened in my life this year. And so I just want to reflect on some of the things that happened. You know, I'm recording this today, a few weeks before it's going to come out. Today is Spotify Wrapped Day. So if you are one of the biggest Seeking Excellence listeners, you probably discovered that today or a month before this is going to be released. But you probably, you know, have seen some of your stats if you're a Spotify person. Personally, I'm an Apple Music guy. Shout out to Apple Music. They actually did something similar to Spotify Wrapped this year, which I really appreciated, but they only gave it to us on music. So I didn't get like a Apple Podcast breakdown. I don't know. I haven't opened the podcast. Oh no, I did open the podcast app today. So I don't think they have that yet, because I'd be super curious to know what my like top podcasts and stuff were. But really cool to see those stats. Awesome to see the growth of Seeking Excellence over the year in followers and listens and shares. So thank you. I just want to say a sincere thank you to everybody who's listened to the podcast, who shared it on social media, text message, whatever, you know, manner you do that in. And I just really appreciate you tuning in, because for me, Seeking Excellence has always been a mission that I felt like God has given me to do, right? I think he's taking me on this journey. If you listen to my very long testimony story, you've heard some of this journey. You heard the majority of it, I guess, you know, at least a 2-hour version of my story. And God has gotten me to this point where he's given me this kind of life philosophy that I am constantly working out. This is something that I think I don't talk about enough, is the fact that I don't come to you believing that I have all the answers. You know, I remember hearing in a Jordan Peterson talk one time that he said the best kind of books are those in which the author is actually discovering something, where you don't have the answer to the question when you begin. At least you're taking people on the journey of you discovering that answer. And not only do I want to do that in my writing, but I also want to do that in the podcast, is that a lot of these things that, you know, cause a stir, that get any type of negative pushback or feedback, a lot of times I'm just striving to figure them out myself. And so I don't think that I have all the answers. I don't think that I know everything that there is to know about life. But I do believe that I've discovered some principles here with Seeking Excellence that lead to the best possible life, that lead to modern day holiness, what it means to be holy, a holy man or woman as a lay person in the 21st century in the Western world. You know, I think sometimes that being that specific makes people think that it's not universal, it's not universally true, but I think that applies to billions of people, right? So this is a big thing for us to be considering. How do we strive to live out faith and reason in every area of our lives in this modern world, because it has changed so much. You know, I listened to a podcast this morning. It was the Lila Rose show, and she was interviewing, what's his name? I'll keep wanting to say Jonathan Haidt, but that's not who it was. I forget what his name is. But he is the author of Boys Adrift. So he talks a lot about the decline in boys, the kind of, you know, a lot of stuff on gender and child psychology. And it was really interesting listening to their conversation. I highly recommend you go back and listen to the podcast. It came out in like towards the end of November. I think it was her most recent one as I'm recording today. But just really moved to hear the things that they were saying about this decline in masculinity, this decline in boys knowing how to be good men. And that's another area that I want to speak into, that I want to try to answer for other young men. I found myself not really having the guidance or the role models that I needed to figure out how to be a good man. And what helped me along the way was having other men who were willing to speak into my life. And so I can't do that for everyone. I can't, you know, meet with every guy for coffee every morning or, you know, once a week. And so the podcast has really been an opportunity for me to try to do that and try to answer these questions of what does it mean to be a good man? What does masculinity look like when it's healthy and holy and full? So that's another thing that I try to do with the podcast. And I'm still learning that as well. You know, I'm just a year and a half into marriage. I'm just 7 months into fatherhood. And so answering these questions, I mean, I do a lot of reading and research and learning myself to try to have something worth sharing. But I really am, you know, for many listeners out there, I think just a few steps ahead, just a few, you know, a little bit, you know, a few years ahead, a few steps down the road, and trying to help you as I navigate all of these different things. And so, yeah, what a great year. I mean, super blessed. Got some fun stats about the year with my Spotify Wrapped as a podcaster. You get all the stats and numbers and things like that as well. And so it was really cool and really inspiring to see new listeners in different countries. We have, you know, lots of new followers and people who are subscribing and all of that. But my goal here has never been to make this the biggest podcast in the world. I think I speak to a niche group of people who really are typically Christian, conservative, and driven in life. I don't think that you have a ton of people that are like that, that want to kind of be aware of what's going on in the world, but don't want to be pessimistic and constantly soaked in negativity and worrying about the next outrage and the next big thing to be pissed off about. There's not many of us out there. And so I'm really grateful for you guys listening. I'm grateful, especially for the locals members and my local supporters, because you guys have helped me to take all this to the next level. And if you're watching on YouTube, I know we haven't really taken off on YouTube yet, but just when I get to go back and watch the videos and just see compared to when I used to just record on my laptop screen, what I have now, it's very inspiring to me. It gives me a lot of hope going forward in the future. And, you know, just to kind of give you some more context, because today I'm really just speaking from the heart as I review the year and try to give you some stuff to think about going into the new year. This year has been filled with a lot of encouragement and a lot of discouragement. I think having the local supporters, that has definitely been the most encouraging thing that I've had happen this year in regards to seeking excellence. You guys have given me hope and just inspired me to want to do this, right? To see that other people really believe in it, because it has been challenging. I mean, it's hard to be, there's other podcasts out there. You know, I can think of specific female podcasters or other things like that that have been around for as long as I have that have 10 times the amount of downloads and engagement that I have. And that can be hard to see. That can be discouraging, you know? And like I said, my goal is never to be the biggest, but it still helps you, you know, your listenership gives you feedback and it helps you to know if you're actually resonating with people, if you're actually hopefully helping people and moving people along spiritually. You know, I've had moments throughout this year that have felt like I am and many moments that have felt like I'm not. And so having the local supporters has been most encouraging. Most discouraging, I would say, has been times where not people just disagreeing, because I'm totally on board with people disagreeing. I know I had my fair share of hotness this year from the Ephesians 5 podcast to the dating podcast to the honest review of nonprofits and self-fundraising. I've had my hot takes. I don't disagree with that. And when you have hot takes, when you know you're doing that, when I know that I'm going into all of this, not just trying to make content that's entertaining or fun, but actually try to say stuff that is going to stir the pot, get people having conversations that I believe need to be had, and saying things that I think are true that most people are unwilling to say, I expect that people are going to disagree. You anticipate that, right? That's totally fine and totally normal. What has been more discouraging this year is people trying to silence you doing that. People within the Catholic world who have tried to silence me doing that. Now, as of today, I'm undecided on how much I'm going to push back against that. I have been, if you follow me on social media, I don't know what it'll be like by the time this episode comes out, but in the last month or two, I've been pretty quiet on there. I think some of the discouragement has gotten to me, but also more importantly, I've wanted to go back and really reinvest into my prayer life. And so I want to make sure that I'm not just giving people myself, but I'm giving people the message and the things that God is giving to me, right? That God has feeding me through the things that I'm learning and make sure that I'm shaping the things that I'm learning, the things that I'm thinking, things that I'm saying through the lens of faith and reason. And the best way to do that is to make sure that I am super locked in with the Lord. I have to have a super strong prayer life if I'm going to do this. And I've had one for most of my adult life, but undoubtedly ebbed and flowed, especially during my time in the army. Then I got back into dynamic Catholic. It got really strong again. Benedictine was pretty good. And then I tore my Achilles, which really impacted my prayer life there for a while. And then moving out here, working from home and stuff like that, it became a lot harder. And so now that I'm working next door to a church, my studio is next door to the church. So I'm very close to the tabernacle as I record my podcast now, which I love. I'm really working to regain that and re-strengthen my prayer life so that it's not just, you know, a normal, good, decent prayer life, but actually an amazing prayer life that I'm putting a lot of time and effort into. And so that's become a massive priority for me. And so with all of that, I've just been taking time to just kind of step back and think about where I'm at. And I think that's something that we all need to do. This is not something that only applies to me, but in your own life, have you taken any time this year to just stop and reflect, to think about where you're at, to really evaluate yourself on the seven pillars? Because this is something that I think is incredibly important. Emily and I have not been very good about doing our weekly board meetings. And so that's been difficult. That's been a challenge to not have that weekly check-in. And that's something that I can certainly prioritize and as a leader of the home ought to. So I take, you know, responsibility and accountability for that. But not having that, I've had to be creative and make sure that I'm really giving a voice and time to when my heart and my mind nudge me in the direction of saying, hey, you should really evaluate where you're at in life. You should evaluate these things. Because I do believe that most of us have that. We have these little hunches that make us question and think. Maybe it's a homily, maybe it's a book, maybe it's just driving in silence or some time in the shower where you think about, oh man, I'm really stressed about our finances. Why is that? Man, I'm really stressed about my physical health. I really have not taken advantage of this year and making healthier choices and things like that. Whatever it might be, you might be convicted in a homily that you heard that your spiritual life has become very lax and lukewarm. And so if you're feeling that nudge, then you have to evaluate to say, okay, Lord, let's take some time to think about how I'm actually doing, to think about how I'm spending my time, to think about how I'm stewarding the things that you have given me. And I've been trying to give myself more time with that and not just trying to be focused on the next thing or the next piece of content or whatever, because it's so easy when I'm so busy to just continue on and just be like, I have to get a podcast out this week. I have to get this out. Because I went for a while there where, and you may have noticed this, I think I've noticed it in the especially my solo episodes in the month of November, I really was kind of forcing it. Like I didn't have something that I really wanted to talk about. I think part of that, again, was the discouragement and trying to be silenced by certain Catholics out there, Catholic organizations out there. You can probably infer who I'm referring to and what I'm talking about. Again, more information may be on the horizon for that because, as you can imagine, I'm not somebody who is just going to be silenced or that persecution is going to make me want to like clam up and go away. I saw that in certain people when talking about certain topics throughout this year, that they felt they could be seen as criticizing a specific Goliath organization. And they were like, I don't want to do that because I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to have a bad relationship with them. And yeah, I just think that it is disgustingly soft to face opposition and immediately cower. And you see this in a lot of Catholic podcasts. There's a lot of people who don't. There's a lot of courageous podcasters out there. There's a lot of courageous speakers and content creators. But there is a lot of cowardice. And that's something that I've seen in people. And I am appalled by it. And I know that I have cowardice in my own ways, in my own life. I see it every single day it manifests in different ways because I'm weak and broken as well. But one thing I'm not going to do is live a life of cowardice. And that, I think, is a huge difference. This is similar to, I think when it comes to cowardice, you can think of it as with any other sin, right? There's certain, let's take lust for an example. You can think of lust in where you can, you know, fall to the temptations of lust. Maybe that's in watching pornography or stepping over, you know, chastity lines with a significant other. That's one thing. It's another thing to move in with someone. It's another thing to commit to say, we're going to have sex actively before marriage. It's another thing to leave your spouse and live with your mistress, right? And these are the things that I think people don't recognize enough. And this has always been the easiest way for me to understand the concept of mortal sin. And some of the sins that you can fall into spontaneously can still be mortal sins. But to me, I still think that there's heavier sins, the heaviest sins, right, are those that you deliberate, you truly ponder, you think about, and you stick to, that you choose that you're going to be this way. You choose that you're going to embrace the sin. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who doesn't speak out on every single topic or whatever is a cowardice living in moral sin because of that. What I know for me is that I cannot sit here and think that something is right, think that something needs to be said, think that there's a healthy criticism to make of something, and then just not say it because of the relational impacts of that, right? And I've just seen people do that. And I think it's really sad. And I'm, unwilling to be that person. And so what I wanted to do was, all right, let me take it back. Let me review what I'm thinking. Let me make sure that I'm, you know, staying prayed up and keeping the Lord close to me so that I'm not drifting out and just, you know, doing stuff for clicks, because I never wanted to do that, which is why usually you'll see me after I have a really popular podcast on something that is typically controversial, I'll go back and say, okay, now we're going to go into 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Now we're going to go into some more personal growth, personal development stuff, which really does shrink the audience because most people are here for the outrage and the clicks and the controversial stuff. And that's fine. That's fine to have them come along when I decide that that's what I want to talk about or that's what I feel like needs to be addressed. But largely, that's not what seeking excellence is. And I had to come to terms with that because I had to also come to terms with it when I was doing the Black and White Like Me letters, is that, you know, I was like, man, I could write a book about this. I could speak about this. I could make like race my thing. But I didn't want to, how a lot of Catholic speakers are like chastity speakers. I didn't want to become like the race guy. That was not something I ever had dreamed of doing. So I actually pulled back from doing that, even though it was gaining a lot of attention, because I was like, no, I want to be seeking excellence. I want seeking excellence, this life philosophy, this rule of life. This is what I want to be. This is not what I want to be, but this is what I think God has given me to be my main message to the world. And so that's what we're here for. And so those of you who are listening to this today, just because of the topic, because of the title, I know that that's who you are. That's what you want to be. And so I'm thankful that I'm not the only person out there that's like that. I'm thankful that you guys, you know, find this valuable. And I'm thankful that God has given me the ability to discern in that way, to not be just obsessed with whatever the hot button topic issue or issue of the time is. I do want to, in 2024, get back to doing a little bit more like current event topics and things like that, because I think those discussions are engaging. I think they're important. The social pillar is still a very important pillar of the 7 pillars of excellence. But I did feel that I had a need to return at some point this year to the central pillar, the main pillar, which is that spiritual pillar. And so I've seen that in my own life. That's why I chose the Screwtape Letters for those of us going through Seeking Excellence Book Club. That's why I've started reading The Soul of the Apostolate again for my own personal reading, and why, again, that I've started to prioritize my prayer life even more than before. And so thinking back over the year, let's reflect a little bit on 2023 for a second. So as you think back over the year, what were your highest moments? What were your peaks? What were your valleys? I think it's really critical as we go back and think about a year and we plan for the next year to think about what were those things, because so often those can be signposts. You know, I think I talked about this from Dr. Andrew Huberman that said, I think it was him. Maybe it was somebody else. It might have been Patrick Bet David. I can't remember. But basically said that whenever you feel anything above a 7 out of 10 in any emotion, that is something worth paying attention to. So what were your moments that were higher than a 7 out of 10 this year? Maybe higher than an 8 or a 9 on joy, on sadness, on frustration, on, even making you angry. Things are happening in the world. I think a lot of times that's how we can find the cause that we ought to be most passionate about, or the things that bother us the most, right? And so how do we find that? How do we discover these things? We take time to reflect. We take time to just sit with a journal, sit in the chapel, and think about, all right, Lord, you know, as you send down your Holy Spirit over me to help me to remember the things that happened this past year, the things I may have wanted to forget, help me to remember them because they're probably important. The things that I have not been grateful for, that in the ways that you've worked in my life, and really just sit there and pray and reflect and think about, God, what happened this past year? You know, how was it? It's basically an examine, right? An examination of conscience, or, you know, the spiritual examine that St. Ignatius of Loyola is famous for making. It's a big part of Jesuit spirituality. That we can do that over a day. We can do it over a month. We can do it over a year. And we ought to, right? We ought to reflect back over this past year and think about especially in my opinion, through the seven pillars, to think about how has my mental health been throughout the year? How have my relationships grown and changed? Is there anything I would do differently, right? I have relationships that I've let kind of die or at least get more distant over this past year. And you have to think, do I regret that? Am I making the right decision there? Am I, should I try to, you know, do some type of rebuilding in a relationship that I may have let go? And that could be friends, it could be family, it could be a significant other, maybe you were dating or something like that. But thinking about why and what you learn from that, what you've learned from the distance in that relationship, right? How's your own emotional intelligence grown or decayed throughout the year? Have you been more self-aware? Have you taken more time to understand your own emotions, the way you're letting your emotions affect your decision-making? Have you allowed your emotions to dictate and kind of dominate your life? Moving on from that, you can think about physical. For me, I always have big physical goals for the year, you know, at least, you know, 3 to 5, sometimes up to 10, depending on how, you know, that was usually 10 was more in like the army days when I was very, very active. But for me, I know for this year physically, I didn't crush it. I didn't have a great year. And that's something I really want to make a difference on going into next year. And you know this if you heard me talk at the end of the year, any year, I'm very big on this. When Advent comes around, we have this advantage, I think, as Catholics to recognize that our liturgical new year is the beginning of Advent, right? And so one of Emily's dreams is to host a Catholic New Year's party every year on Advent this year. Just kind of tough timing. My mom's moving the day before Advent on the vigil, and that was the day we were going to have the party. And so we're going to push that back, or we'll see what we do, or maybe just have a little kind of like family party for it. So I still think it's a really good idea where you can pick your saint for the year, your word for the year. And I keep struggling with my word for the year because I just feel like my word for the year is going to be no. I just think I need to say no to a lot more things and to really focus my life. And especially to give you guys Seeking Excellence, to give it more of a priority in my life. I've always put Seeking Excellence on the back burner. And I think I've been able to do some pretty awesome things with it being just this kind of, you know, side hobby, not even like my main hobby, but a side hobby. And so I really want to take it and be more professional with it this coming year, really make writing a priority. I really want to prioritize recording, prioritize using social media. That's something I've underused immensely. And so I just want to kind of change the way that I'm approaching that. And I realized that through reflecting on my year, reflecting on how I'm using my time, my money, et cetera, right? So thinking about all of that is also really, really important. But yeah, thinking about your physical goals for the year, did you hit them or did you not? Are you living in a healthy lifestyle the way that you want to? I got kind of sidetracked there with my word for the year. What I was saying is with the Catholic New Year, what we get and what I say oftentimes as I'm talking about preparing for the new year is that we don't have to wait until January 1st. Whatever you want to start changing, you should start actively trying to do that now. You should do it immediately. Anytime you want to make change in your life, you should start changing it immediately. I actually watched this really kind of sentimental video of a guy sharing with Theo Von some positive changes he made in his life after listening to one of Theo's podcasts. And he said that this quote from Theo that if nothing changes, then nothing changes really impacted his life. What he meant by that was, if you don't make any changes in your life will never change. And that's an obvious truth. And for some of us, it's kind of like, oh, that kind of seems like a silly theoism. But it actually is very sensible, right? A lot of times we hope and want change, but do nothing differently. We don't do anything to make that change happen. And so anytime you feel the inclination, the motivation to change, and whether that motivation is positive or negative, whether you're pulled towards something positive, like a positive outcome or reward, or your push from a negative experience or reality, doesn't matter. You should start to make moves and actually set up your life to make those changes, right? When you think about, oh, I need to start going to the gym, like get a gym membership, text a friend to meet you at the gym, or just get dressed and go, right? That is a time to make the move. You don't wait, to say, oh, well, tomorrow, maybe I'll text somebody or this or that. You just do it. You just got to send it. A lot of times in life, that's how it works because we as humans are very weak. We're prone to giving into things. We're prone to giving into our weakness, to the comforts of the flesh. And so it's hard to not do that. And so we have to be really intentional about that and really try to just seize the opportunities that God gives us, seize the moments that we have, where we have that kind of spark of discipline and motivation and inspiration to just go and do it. And so you want to start setting yourself up for next year. This is where I really try to push back into every December. Advent is a great time, right? Because Advent can be a little Lent for us. It doesn't have to be where we're fasting, but it can be, right? Where you just not even give up something, but you just kind of instill something into your life, right? Emily's planning on giving up social media for Advent. For me, I'm doing like a kind of a resurgence on pray, read, move, right? Pray, learn, move, where I'm resurging those kind of three kind of central habits of excellence, in my opinion, where we have daily prayer, we read every day, and we move every day. Simple things, walking the dog, reading a book for 5 or 10 minutes before going to bed, even if it drives my wife nuts because I don't turn off the my nightstand lamp when she wants to go to bed because I want to read for a little bit. And prayer time, just taking the time out every day to have some serious prayer time. As I get those back into my life, I'm a new man. Those are the three things that I do that really make a difference on how I feel. The three internal kind of personal habits that I have that either make me feel really great or in their absence, I feel really crappy and really stuck in life. And so those are really, really big, really important for me. And so you can start to instill those things throughout the month of December, right? We don't have to wait for January 1st and then try to totally change our life. First, I started rebuilding my prayer life. Then I started incorporating reading again. And now I'm starting to get back to, okay, I have to be active every single day, whether that's just running or walking a mile, or it's going to the gym for an hour. Whatever I can kind of fit in, something has to happen. There has to be some type of movement. I can't just be sitting still all the day long. And so, you know, moving on, your spiritual life, obviously easy to kind of evaluate the things. Did you go to confession regularly this year? Did you pray every day? Did you make a holy hour once a week? Did you make any effort to make daily mass a regular part of your life? For me, I know I failed in a lot of these areas. Like I said, my prayer life got pretty lukewarm throughout the year, especially after having a kid. It was pretty hectic and hard to adapt to that. It can be very discouraging, you know, when you sit down to finally pray as a husband and wife, and then the kid starts crying or he's just yelling and screeching while we're trying to pray. That can be very, very difficult. And so it's hard to keep any type of rhythm or normalcy with that once you have a child. One thing I feel like we did do pretty well on throughout the year was going to confession. We try to go every 2 weeks. I think 3 weeks is acceptable. Once a month is okay. I think if you're going less than once a month, I do personally think that that's like almost below mediocrity. I think that we should set the standard for practicing Catholics that you go to confession once a month. And that's kind of the standard for being a, you know, a good Catholic. I think great is when you get into the 3 weeks and every 2 weeks. You obviously don't want to be crazy and going every 2 days or anything like that. But again, that's to say, like, give us standards that we can shoot for. Doesn't mean that if that's the only thing you do is go to confession every 2 weeks, that you're a great Catholic, by no means. But that would be the standard for greatness, for confession, for lay Catholic. That's kind of the standards and views that I have and how I kind of, you know, have some objective measures in my life for how I'm doing spiritually. Daily mass was not great this year. Did not make that a super good priority. Have been better in the last 6 to 8 weeks of that. And so really seeking to continue to improve upon that and everything. So that's the spiritual pillar. Then you have your professional pillar. Did you set professional goals this year? And if so, how'd you do? I think it's always good to set professional goals. I had some for myself this year and blew them out of the water. You know, I had sales goals that I basically doubled. And that was due to some changes that I had suggested making, for us as a sales team. And yeah, just feel super blessed. Feel like I had a really good year. Have honestly struggled throughout this last like 6 weeks of the year because of doing so well throughout the year. I think the team did really, really great. And, I've just been, yeah, impressed with us and blessed with that. And how in general doing well, obviously surviving some of the controversy from Advent. I don't know where things will be at. I don't know if you've caught up, stayed up to date with any of the stuff going on with Advent and some of the controversy that's been surrounding Hallow. But I'm recording now today in the midst of that. I have lots of thoughts on it and have tried not to speak on it because I try not to share my personal opinions in ways that would impact the company, especially in company matters. And so haven't touched that. I have shared personally. If you are curious what my personal thoughts were, I'm happy to share those privately with you. But love Halo, love where I'm at in my professional life, and hope to continue to grow and make next year even a bigger year and be even better with that. Financial, how did your financial goals go this year? Did you make the money that you wanted to make? A lot of people don't have fluctuating income. I have fluctuating income on multiple fronts, being that I work in sales, I work as a speaker, and I own an Airbnb, right? So there's lots of things. It's easy to kind of set financial goals in targets of income, but you can also set financial goals for your giving, which you ought to do, right? What is your giving goals, and how did you end up with that at the end of the year? That's something that it's a little bit easier to evaluate typically in January, February, when you start to get your letters back and the organization sends you your giving summary for 2023. Obviously, if you're budgeting, you track that every month, even better. But it is something that you can always kind of reevaluate too as you're doing your taxes. I find that kind of the best time to, because there's so many things that you might give to once, right? And you kind of forget about, oh yeah, I did make that $500 gift to X, Y, or Z. And so you kind of see that it usually just ends up being better than what you thought. Hopefully you're not exaggerating your giving, but kind of underestimating it, that you might see more things as those tax letters and stuff come out. And then you can evaluate that with your actual total income. So financial, yeah. Are you budgeting? Do you have a plan? Do you have goals? And not even just your income goals, but also getting rid of debt. Do you have any debts that you shouldn't have or that you should strive to get rid of? Student loan debt, credit card debt, car payments, right? How can we work to get rid of those things so we can be better set up for success? Did you learn things about finances this year? You know, did you want to learn more about real estate or about the stock market or about crypto? And because I think learning goals are also really, really important. I usually set some type, it's usually kind of my social pillar goals for the year, or just like I want to learn more about X, Y, or Z or specific topics. And that's very subjective. Those are hard to have objective things on. Maybe you take a course or a class or something like that. You know, this past year I did the leadership program at the Rockies, and so I wanted to graduate from that. It was like one of my things, but it can be really hard. It's just very difficult to say, you know, the social pillar, other than maybe volunteering or being more involved in your community and things like that. How can you actually be a better citizen, be a better parish member? How can you be a better member of your family, right? To be more present for people. Maybe next year you want to make more meals for people who have newborns, or celebrate newlywed couples or engaged couples in a more intentional way. All these things are good goals and good habits to get into. And can be really powerful in the way that you interact with other people and how you are as a member of society. And so thinking about all those things, you reflect on this past year and you plan for next year, start to set goals within those areas. And I highly recommend, if you're single, do it with a friend, at least do it in a chapel, pray about it, and then meet with a friend and share your goals with them and have them share their goals with you. If you're dating, do it together. If you're engaged, obviously do it together. And if you're married, definitely do it together, right? And maybe you have some that you meet and you share with a friend, and you'll have others that you meet with and share with your spouse, right? I think that's okay. You can still share all of them with your spouse. Like, I share all of my things with my spouse, but I do have another friend of mine, Dakota, who I'm going to share more of my Seeking Excellence and Airbnb, those types of goals that are more on the professional level and things like that. So, so you can have different people you share different goals with as well. You know, I want to share my professional goals with my boss so he knows what I'm kind of shooting for the year, where I hope to be, my vision for myself at the company and things like that. And so think about these things, pray about these things, and just really, I think, give some thoughts to the intangibles as well. How do you want to see your life change in 2024? So you want to create a vision for your life. Sometimes this is, you know, if you listen to the 7 Habits little series that I did there, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, this is kind of beginning with the end in mind. Where do you want to see yourself at the end of next year? And this is something I think we don't give enough thought to, right? I talked about this a little bit when reflecting on my 20s, when I turned 30 this past summer. But thinking about, like, when I sit, you know, think about how you feel this year. Right. And again, this can be either a negative or positive motivator for you. But as I sit and think about how I live my life in 2023, am I excited about it or do I feel bad about it? And whichever you feel, feel that. Really sit in it. Sit in the negative emotions you feel, sit in the positive ones you feel, because this is where you're going to draw motivation for next year. Either I don't want to feel like this at the end of next year, or I do want to feel like this again at the end of next year. How can I create that? What is that going to look like for me? If I anticipate how I'm going to feel in a year, what type of things do I want to look back on? I know for me, a really big one, I've been really frustrated with struggling with my physical goals. And so I want to not just lose the weight, because every year I feel like I start off the year really hot and I lose like 15 pounds and then I somehow gain it back throughout the year. It happens almost every single year, right? And so thinking about that, all right, I want to lose the weight and I want to keep the weight off. I want to be the weight that I am in April, in December, you know, or I want to, I started off really hot as well with reading, just kind of the motivation of the new year, and then kind of fell off. If you look at my reading list, the books that I completed per month really, really fell off kind of after we had a kid, which is somewhat fair, but still, how can I get back on that? How can I feel like I'm reading and I'm doing the things that I want to do? Whatever it is for you, right? Whatever is most motivating. I want to look back at the end of next year, and this is how I want to feel. This is why I want to think that, you know, feel like I've accomplished. This is what I want to have done. Think about those things. Once you have those things in mind, that's when you can start to formulate your goals and start to actually set targets and quarterly and monthly targets that are going to help you to stay on track with that and actually achieve the goals and the things that you want to do next year. And so know of my prayers for you as you go through this process. I hope that today's episode was helpful in you as you reflect back on this year, as you plan for next year. If you have somebody in mind, whether that be a spouse or a friend that you want to do this with, I encourage you to send them this episode as well. As I started out with, I'm extremely grateful for you. I'm grateful for you listening to Seeking Excellence. Grateful for you being along. If you're a supporter or a member on our locals channel, I'm extremely grateful for your support. It means a lot to me. I receive a lot of discouragement, and so I appreciate the encouragement you give to me by being a locals supporter, a member, and a listener of Seeking Excellence. So God bless you. Hope you have a great rest of your 2023 and prepare for an even better 2024. Be your best.